Tampa Bay, the game of the Butch Jones era.
What game, Freddie?
Florida.
No question.
September 24th. We'll be ranked in the top 10. If we beat them, then we start that three-game schedule Beno was talking about. But after that, we've got five games on the back end next year: South Carolina, Tennessee Tech, Kentucky, Missouri, Vandy. That's a five-game win streak. I don't believe there'll be a bigger game than the Florida-Tennessee game here in at least a decade, probably 20 years. So,
imagine how hot that ticket's going to be. 3:30, CBS game, coming off Tennessee, just demolishing Virginia Tech up there. With Fuente, with a team that's just not what they've been in his first year there, in what will be the Woodstock of college football. That's going to be a crazy scene up there. Next year's season, Freddie, has special written all over it. And I don't want to get out ahead of myself, because I'll tell you what, I'm with Beno. This season here could have collapsed. These guys won eight games. They beat Georgia after falling behind three touchdowns. There's a lot of want-to with the 2015 team that I appreciate.
Well, let me tell you something about this team, and I think Beno and I may have talked about this. We may not have. This team did something that we haven't been able to say about a team around here in a long time. This team got much better as the year went along. With the exception of maybe the receiving core, we were better in every phase at the end of the year, much better than we were. And I've seen a lot of teams here in the last few years that weren't any better in November than they were in September. And that gives me a lot of confidence going forward, Tony.
The other thing, Freddie, that I saw this year that I can't remember the last year I saw was we were in every football game. We looked like we had as good a team as the team we were playing in every football game. And I'm trying to remember when the last time that occurred was.
Well, you're right. We were not overmatched. And we played the best teams. Well, we played number two and three, and I'll be truthful with you. Alabama and Oklahoma, I believe they're all better than Clemson. I could be wrong. But Tony, this Vandy team, for what it's worth, 3 weeks ago, Florida had to run their kicker out there to kick a 40-some-odd-yard field goal in Gainesville as time ran out to beat them. That's just 3 weeks ago.
Pretty incredible, isn't it?
It really is. And as far as Kamara and Hurd, I don't believe they're ever going to have any trouble between each other, because Kamara realizes every time he touches that ball that Hurd's just got done bloody and those guys up so bad there. They're a step slower than they would have been if Hurd wasn't in there knocking them out all the time.
Sure helps him get to the edge, doesn't it?
Boy, hey, Tony, I want to say something about you, bud. This is your effort this football season with this after the game show. I realize that's not your bread and butter, but your timing could not be better, because you're going to lap up all the gravy next year that you've paid your dues on these last couple of years. And we just love you for being in here doing it, brother.
I enjoy it so much, man. I appreciate you saying that. And
all your helpers, too. And I tell you something, I've grown to have a lot of respect for Jerry Colquitt. And I'll just say it right out. I've always felt that way, of course, about being on Sean. And I don't know Russell that well, but, man, you've just put an all-star cast together. So.
Yep, and we got irregular regulars like Jason Swain, too,
yep,
who are wonderful people. But thank you, Freddie. Thanks for saying that.
Go Vols.
Thank you. Go Vols back to you. By the way, if you want to give me a Go Vols tonight, lay it on me. 865-200-5402. It's 48 past our hour. Beno, do you want to depart or you want to stick around a little bit? You told me you were wanting to go. You tell me.
Tony, I want to be here until you get someone that can take my place, because there's no sense in you going solo. I'll be here as long as you need me.
I want to go back to the phones. 48 passed, as I was saying before. A couple of score updates. Oklahoma scores are up 7-3 on Oklahoma State. That game being played in some crazy conditions. Stanford leads Notre Dame right now, 14-13. Bino, if Notre Dame wins out, do they get one of the playoff slots in your book, or is it fair that they're going to get locked out because of their schedule?
Tony, I believe that they're going to get locked out. If Oklahoma wins tonight, if Oklahoma State wins, I believe Notre Dame will slip in front of them. But they won't slip in front of Oklahoma.
You know what would be, internally frustrating from a Tennessee perspective, Bino? This would be eternally frustrating. Iowa next week, a weird track, food poisoning, something happens to Michigan State. Iowa wins next week. They make the playoffs. How? I would have no idea how after watching them against Nebraska yesterday, but they would make the playoffs. They are so damn slow, Bino. They had a lineman intercept a pass that Armstrong, the third kid, threw.
Yeah.
And he looked like their defense looks like a pickup game at one of our family reunions we have. A bunch of Italian people running around with big rear ends.
I know we probably don't give this year's team credit that it deserves because we just absolutely destroyed them on a bad day for them last year. But the truth is, they're in a weak side of the division, and they played no one that could play from the other side. And they've parlayed that into basically a one-game opportunity to get into the playoffs.
They're Christmas
anything
slow.
Anything can happen in that one night.
No question.
They didn't earn it through the season, but now they're right there. I believe that Michigan State will probably take care of that.
Part two of my nightmare, featuring Alice Cooper. Here's part two. Oklahoma wins tonight, wins next week, and they get in. Tennessee's better than both of those teams. Part three of my nightmare. Florida wins tonight, even though they're losing 10-0 right now. Wins next week, and they get in. Now, I'll tell you what would be funny, is if Florida lost tonight and then won next week and the SEC got nobody in. I think that'd be funny. Personally, that's me. Might hurt us in bowl season, but it would be kind of comical to me. I'm tired of Alabama. Do you echo that?
See, Tony, I've always been pretty much an SEC apologist, and I've told you the reasons why, because of my age and the lack of respect I felt like the conference got when I was a kid. The conference gets more than its amount of respect now, and I don't see anybody crying any tears from other teams in this league when we struggle. So I don't care if they struggle.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402, a show that's all about you, the living fan. A labor of love presented by our friends at Smartway, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, First Mortgage Lenders, and also our friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. Hello and welcome in.
How's it going, Tony and Bino? It's Willie.
Hey, Willie, welcome in.
It's so hard to follow Freddie. It's like if you had a plethora of great callers, he would be like near the center of the hall. Such a
you should
hard
be his brother your whole life. Try that out.
it's like Tiny Tim following Sinatra on stage. It's just hard to do. Anyway, I'll get to my point. It dovetails into what he was talking about tonight. I just feel like the way this poll is set up, I'm looking at Northwestern. How can Northwestern be ranked higher than us? Can you explain that to me?
No. That's exactly right. They play no schedule.
And same thing with Iowa. I mean, that's the biggest joke. Clemson. I mean, I think Clemson's better than those two teams, but I don't know if they're that much better than Tennessee. They may be better, but I don't know how much better. But anyway, it seems to be the formula is to have a weak league or have a weak division in the league, hang out and hide out in there and play maybe one hard game the whole season and then be there at the end to get in that top four the way this thing's rigged right now. And also, and this is my conspiratorial nut thinking, kind of like you in that regard, was this thing set up to make the Big Ten have more teams than anyone else in the top ten the way it is? I mean, you got Iowa over here in this super weak side of the conference, and they're not playing anybody. And then you've got Ohio State, you got Michigan, you got Michigan State on the other side. Is that correct? I think the way it's set up.
That is correct. And they didn't play Ohio State, Michigan, or Michigan State from the other side.
But think about what the end result is. Let's say Iowa is a bad team, and I don't think they're that good. They're okay. I don't think they're great. We really don't know because they really haven't played anybody of merit. It's like a top 20 team, but let's say that they went out, but they get killed next week in their championship game. They're still at the top of the poll near the end of the season. See what I'm saying? Ohio State's near the top because of the way it's set up. And Michigan State is, of course, going to be higher than both of those teams, but it seems like it's rigged to get the Big Ten plus whatever it is now, three or four, I don't know, to get them in the work of their teams in the top 10. Can you comment on that?
You know, Willie, I think people in that area of the country would say the SEC does the exact same thing by only playing 8 conference league games and scheduling basically junk for non-conference games.
Well, I can't defend that, Bino. You got a point there. It's hard to defend those weeks, like those games last week we played, and their game was in North Texas. I can't defend that. You got a point there.
Everybody does it. The point we're making here is, you got to play those games before November. And if you want to schedule an off week, put an off week in November. But you should be building. The one thing the Big Ten does that I wish we'd learn from is build drama. Tennessee should play Florida in November every year. They should have been playing in November forever. Everybody would love it. Everybody.
We did it 0-1.
Sure. It was my favorite game. The 0-1 Florida game was my favorite game in the series, not just because Tennessee won, but just being there at that game, there was something about that thing being for all the marbles. And that must be what it feels like to watch Michigan and Ohio State play each year. That must be what that game feels like.
And if we played 9 league games, guys, instead of 8, you wouldn't have a week like that. And that's the point.
Well, the way it's ended up this year, it looks like the Big Ten has more teams in the top 10 than the other conferences. It looks like it's been designed and rigged that way. I'm sick of the way the tournament 64 is in basketball, how the teams that don't deserve to get in there seem to get in there because of the Royal Society we talk about.
Yep.
It seems like the same thing is being set up now in football. That just drives me crazy. And I'll admit that maybe the BCS, the SEC, was favored the way it was set up. I think Kramer had a lot of influence the way that thing was set up. And it did favor an SEC team getting in, but now it seems like it's gone the other way. It's going back the other way. I'd like to make it where it's fair. Are the sports writers involved in the poll, and is strength of schedule considered in the poll? Talking about the poll for the Final Four selection?
No, they have a straight selection committee and criteria for that.
Man, where's the strength of schedule? I mean, I'm looking at, how does Iowa get there? I mean, if they've, like you say,
well, because they're unbeaten. They're sitting there because they're unbeaten. I mean, they've beaten teams in front of them, and they're in a power league. Look, they're in a terrible division, but as Bino said, they literally will have a one-game schedule next week. They're going to have a one-game schedule and an opportunity to land one of those coveted 4 slots.
But you will admit, if they lose next week, they'll still have a great record and get it. They're going to get a great bowl, despite the fact they won't make it to the Final Four.
That
right?
will be interesting to see what kind of bowl
That's
they get.
That's what drives me crazy. How do they get to go to a good bowl game? I know it's not a top 4 bowl.
I'd like to play them again. I'd like to play them again.
I would too. I'd like to play a lot of teams. I like to play Clemson.
Yes, sir.
See how we can do against them. Look at how we did against Alabama. Look how we did against Florida. These teams that were the Florida game just said, I can't get out of my crawl. I'm sorry.
Thank you, brother. Have a great night.
I know we got to move on. Thanks, guys.
Have a great night.
Tony, I may be wrong, but I believe that Iowa will actually get penalized if they get beat in the Big Ten championship game because the group of 6 New Year's Day games, if they've got a choice, which they do, they're going to take Ohio State long before they take Iowa.
Absolutely. TV ratings. Stanford leads 21-20 over Notre Dame as they just scored a touchdown. Speaking of the bottom of the top 25, Temple is on top of Connecticut right now, 13-0. Ole Miss 28-3 over Mississippi State at halftime.
Scrambled egg bowl.
3:09 to play in the first half. Texas A&M leads Les Miles and LSU 7-6. 5:40 to play till halftime. Florida State on top of Florida 10-0. And as I just told you, Stanford on top of Notre Dame, 48 seconds to play in the first half there, 21-20, and in the biggest game of the night, and I saved this score for last, we're building the pyramid here, 3:12 to play till half. Oklahoma State with a touchdown leads Oklahoma 10-7. Back to our phones we go. Bino, this will be your final call tonight. Cinco tells me he's ready to roll, and Jerry Colquitt will follow him. And Bino, you know I love and appreciate you. Let's go back to the phones.
Tony, I love you. What depth you have. If I were you, I would have gotten me out of the game. I wouldn't have given me this many minutes.
Back to the phones we go. I've got you right now, Bino, at 99 yards. So don't go backwards on this call. I want you to crack the century mark.
Okay.
Let's get our next call in on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, Don. Hey, guys. Tell you what, wonderful, wonderful day. You told me before the game started we'd have 53 points and sit on the ball to keep running it up anymore. I probably wouldn't have believed it. I bravely picked 24-6. The last 2 weeks we've heard about how scared we should be, and well, I haven't been because I figured if we could play Florida and Alabama on the road like we did, that didn't make sense to me, but. Before getting deep on the on our game tonight, poor Les Miles, his kicker missed about a 22-yard field goal a little earlier. It would have given him back the lead. bounced it off the upright up there. Speaking of which, what about our little kicker?
Isn't that a great story? That is a great... Don, thank you for pointing that out. That is a great story. And one I didn't believe would play out the way he started the season. He's kind of emblematic of our entire football team. Because that kid, if I can use a misnomer by Butch Jones, showed a lot of resiliency.
Hey, let's give Butch Jones the proper credit in that, too, because every one of us thought he at least should have been given a week off. We thought that he was mentally broken, and they needed to at least put someone else in there for 1 week. Butch said that wasn't the case. He would recover, and he was correct.
Well, guys, it was wonderful to score 53 points. And speaking of the 50s real quickly, I see Jimmy Franklin got about 56 hung on him today. That'll make him feel good.
Yeah, and Ty Blackledge, who's royalty in the Penn State family, blasted Franklin for his conduct post-game. Something happened up there. I'm trying to dig and see exactly what that's about.
I wonder what that could be with that dunk.
Hey,
Tony,
you know
that area better than, and that program much better than any of the rest of us. That just looks to be a really poor fit.
Well, it's a poor fit, and they're done. Penn State post Jerry Sandusky, guys, let's just face it.
Yeah.
That's called a damaged brand, and I don't know, it's going to take a generation to get that taste out of your mouth. You could name the most special coach you guys could think of in college football, stick him at Penn State, and, man, that is a real uphill climb to try and overcome that with the mamas of the world out there. The stench of that Sandusky thing, I mean, that's just going to linger on. There's just no doubt about it in my mind. It's going to have a 20-year stench to it.
NFL betting money, but it's 10-0 down there in that Florida game, so I don't think Neon Treon's going to be able to make a comeback.
No.
Good grief, they couldn't. Without Will Appeal, they couldn't score on Bourbon Street. That offense is putrid.
Now, why do you call him Will the Pill, Bino?
Well, he's a pill.
Because that's why he's not playing.
Actually, and I know it would benefit Tennessee and its orange glasses. I don't understand why they didn't have to vacate those wins he played in. I don't. With all the stuff that they've run around vacating wins on people, I just don't understand why that wasn't.
They certainly played an ineligible player, didn't they?
Absolutely, and I still, you'll never convince me they found out on Sunday morning after that last game he played that was important to them either.
You guys can laugh if you want. Samaje Perine, by the way, goes out from 68 yards for the Oklahoma Sooners, who now lead 13-10. They are not playing. I'll tell you this right now, Don. I'm such low rent that if tomorrow we woke up and they vacated those wins and made us SEC champ, I'd go out and buy me an SEC Eastern Division champion shirt.
Oh, absolutely.
Screw them.
That's right. We've been getting the shaft long enough every which way to Sunday.
And those people in Florida don't appreciate anything. They play before several thousand empty seats this year.
I know. It's just pathetic. said it when they.
Put Greer on the back of mine too.
Better believe it. The peel.
Well, even I mean, they should go support them, even if that offense puts them to sleep. They should be in the stands,
right?
Propped up.
If we had a one-loss season right now, it wouldn't matter if we were averaging 7 points a game. Neyland Stadium be jam-packed.
All you got to do is look at what they have done. I was so glad to see Dormady and the backups getting in there and see Joe Young get his first score. And will somebody tell me I'm too lazy or don't know how to look it up? Whoever number 47 was made a fantastic block to spring Joe Young into the end zone.
Yep.
And Alex Ellis?
No, Ellis is 48.
We're gonna talk with Cinco about that the contributions for that young man momentarily. Don, thank you.
All right, guys, have a great evening, and we'll be listening to the dentist here.
Bino, right. The speculation there, Bino, by you is a kind of a loss of a yard, but I have you roughly at 114 yards after Don's call. How about Medley today, Bino, pounding that 147-yarder, his second attempt there in the midway point of the second quarter, 12 minutes, still a football game when he makes that kick. 12:57 to play in the half. It was good from 47, which is, you know, borderline, little on the outside of what his range has been, and he pounds that thing through. It's probably good from 60 yards.
He absolutely drilled it, Tony, and he's just mirrored what our program's done. You know, you and I have talked 100 times about how kickers are just like relief pitchers, and when they go sour, they rarely recover. He recovered. He didn't let early failures dictate or try to determine what his season was, and he has my admiration.
And Don Stockstill had the block, who we are a fan of here. And Bino, give me a final thought here on the way out, and then I'm bringing Cinco into the mix and into the hunt.
I tell you, Tony, when I was sitting over there in the stands, and we were behind Georgia 21-3. I never dreamed that I would make it to the end of the regular season and look at this as a successful season. But it is a step forward. We have been in every football game. I haven't seen anyone that I thought that we could not have beaten that we took the field against. And we've had 8 happy, fifth quarters, and I look forward to us, getting together and talking about whatever our bowl destination is when that's determined next Sunday.
And we will be live on the air on the app when that happens. We'll also be live on the air on the app after the Tennessee basketball team takes the floor as well, as they lost Nebraska today up at the Barclays game, a game that was not televised anywhere. It wasn't even online, and that's when you know you're playing in something that is rather invisible, when it's not even available online. Bino, I love you. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom.
Bino with 124 yards going out. On only 13 carries, he averages over 10 a carry. And Cinco will join us next. Time for me to remind you that Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, ladies and gentlemen, been with us for 3 years now, providing these shows. Randy says, hey, Tony, you got the most loyal customer base, listeners in the country. Look, anything that makes mobile units turns and makes mobile components work, they have at Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Online at daltonhydraulic.com, serving worldwide from Granger County, Tennessee. Whether you are hunting, look, they are just a handful of Prince Hydraulic master distributors in the nation, and Dalton sells over 200,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and power units. They also have hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, hydraulic motors. They've got thousands and thousands of bearings. And down the stretch, I got my bearings back. I don't know about you, but it was great to do that. And so an opportunity there for me to tell you about them. Also, portions of tonight's program, as we make the call to our bullpen this evening, I want to encourage you, my good friend, to make the call as well. And how do you do that? How do we make the call? With Moosehead, Canada's oldest independent brewery. Why don't you try some Moosehead Lager? pure tradition. Moosehead's Golden Lager, light in body, highly refreshing, giving you a fine balance between malt sweetness and hop bitterness. Made from an age-old yeast culture, Moosehead Lager, brewed longer to impart the unique flavor that you're going to find in Moosehead. Answer the call, grab a Moosehead, as I answer the call and grab the great Sean Sinclair, who's next with us. Cinco, Tennessee victorious today, 53-28, and I welcome you in. Hello, sir.
Would call myself great, but it sure is a pleasure being on with you.
Cinco, thoughts from the game, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Well, I think it's very impressive how, you know, even though and I said this several weeks ago, the schedule would flip on us, and we would start playing some of the lesser teams, but Vandy's defense is one of the best in the conference, and Missouri's as well, and I think that we will end up second maybe in the SEC, maybe even closing in on the top rushing per game stat for a team with a much maligned offensive line and a new offensive coordinator, and I think that's just fantastic.
Team that started six different combinations, as it turns out, through 12 games. And a team that, I mean, tonight, that was a scary incident with, when Jay Sean got rolled up on. But you know, Cinco, the young kids have played well. The veterans have played well. And one of the quiet leaders, Kyler Kurbison, promised that this team would finish strong. And that's exactly what happened. There was a lot of ownership from the upperclassmen on that team.
Well, yeah, and you know, we get hypnotized by all the star rankings, but in the past 2 years, you've had Jacob Gilliam, local kid, torn ACL, broken hand, an unsung hero, and then Kyler Kurbison, who's moved all around, has had his struggles, and really was just pretty much rock solid all year long. So never count out a Tennessee offensive lineman.
Back to the phones we go if you want to get in with us. 865-200-5402. Oklahoma with the football back. They're up 14-10 on Oklahoma State. Stanford on top of Notre Dame, 21-20 at halftime. Florida State, 145 to play in the half, leading Florida 10-0. Temple pending a review, about to go up. Three scores. They're up 13-0 right now. They've got a touchdown currently being reviewed. Ole Miss early in the third quarter all over Mississippi State, 28-3. And with 1 second to go in the half, Texas A&M leads LSU 7-6. Let's go back to the phones. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction.
It's Terry in Atlanta. I
can't. Hey, go ahead, Terry. How you doing, man? Welcome in.
Wow. But I said 8 wins at the first of the year when you were trying to trade off 7 and beat Florida. But I said 8 wins. It's 7-6, Texas A&M at the half.
By the way, Terry, I'd still make that trade. I'd take a 7-5 season with a win over Florida.
Well, I'm going to say this. I mean, you know, three of the losses, those teams are in the top 10. Two of them are in the mix. Now, Oklahoma's come back and gone up on Oklahoma State. Florida's not going to beat Florida State from what I'm watching. You know what? I was upset with Butch, and I'll admit it. I don't think I called in, but I was upset with him on the, let's back up. When he finally allowed the kids to play the game and quit trying to use his analytics and do all the other, I mean, they were down 3 scores against Georgia and physically 90 plays to 60, physically beat the crap out of Georgia. I mean, when you're looking at Hurd and Butch is right, sometimes it's negative yards, sometimes it's 2 yards, sometimes it's three. You know, as a defensive lineman, you got to be looking. God, when he just keeps coming and coming and coming. I'm going to ask, Beano's off, and I listen always on Wednesdays and Fridays on the app, to Cinco and to Beano. We ran the pitch option a lot when we had Worley there, and of course Worley never, he always pitched because he'd get killed. He was getting killed if he kept it. Against Missouri, we ran the pitch option. Lord have mercy. We ate them up. Maybe I missed it. I watched the game. I was distracted at times, but I didn't see a lot of it in the game. Now, that's not a criticism. That's an observation. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm simple-minded enough that I don't see it. But physically, when you get Kamari out in space or Hurd out in space, Hurd is almost like, and I know this is a stretch comparison, if he gets his shoulders up, if he gets to the second level with his shoulders square, or he gets to the second level around the end, he's nearly impossible to stop. I mean, he's just a load to take down. It reminds me of Herschel Walker when he was at Georgia. Am I proud of the guys? Yes. It got easier in a later part of the season. And anytime you beat Vanderbilt and hang 53 on them, that's fun. Vanderbilt is one of those, you go to Tennessee, you go to work for somebody from Vanderbilt. That's bull crap. You get tired of hearing that when you grow up. I'm a native Tennessean. I'm from Atlanta. But, I enjoy your guys' show. It's absolute lot of fun. You have a lot of insight and I appreciate you. Thank you for what you do.
Terry, thank you. It's very, very fun to get on here and celebrate together. Cinco, tonight, our approach was pretty, a little more straight ahead than it was last weekend. I thought what was real interesting was that, the way the ball was distributed on the ground. Dobbs tonight, almost over the 100 yards. Kamara right at 100, as he had 99 in the game. And Hurd, as we were talking about before, with 120 rush yards himself. So your thoughts on the way Tennessee managed the running game tonight versus, say, the Missouri game, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Well, a couple things to the caller's point. I think the reason you didn't see a whole lot of the same that you saw at Missouri is just because of the field conditions. There's no way you're going to get a 240-pound guy going at full speed to keep his feet on a field like that, turning up on the outside. It's just not going to happen. And so I think what they did was they tried to get the little pitter-pat of Kamara outside because he could keep his feet a little bit better. And you saw a whole bunch of body punches. In years past, we would always get mad at Jim Chaney and some of these other guys because they would not commit to the running game. And those little 1 and 2 and 3 yard runs that just don't look effective through the game are actually body punches. And then we saw in the third and fourth quarter, Jalen Hurd start ripping off 48, 20 something yard runs, and they're all set up by that. So I really appreciate, everyone is poo-pooing the end of the year of our schedule, but everyone else plays those same teams too. Everyone else plays Kentucky, Vandy, Missouri, etc. And so we just happen to catch them at the end of the year. So, if people are going to rip the schedule, then you got to rip every other team playing them as well. And so relatively speaking, I thought the running was just great. I agree with an earlier caller that the 1-2-3 punch of those guys are so effective, and the yardage gained by Dobbs when he's scrambling is just a defensive killer. It just absolutely frustrates a defensive lineman to death. And a guy like Dormady can't do it. I know people want to see that passing game, and that's okay because Dobbs is so inconsistent, and I don't know how much better he's going to be. But the threat of him running the ball is just a nightmare for defenses. And so, you know, I don't think Dobbs is ever going to be a masterpiece in the Louvre of college football quarterbacks, but he's going to be darn effective.
What do you think of the Cam Newton comparison, him being compared to Cam Newton tonight constantly by Andre Ware?
Oh, I think that's a, with all due respect to Josh Dobbs, that's a complete stretch.
Let's go. By the way, Joe Mixon, 66-yard touchdown run. Baker Mayfield threw a huge block in the middle of it. You'll see it later. But
and I'm glad for that. A couple things, Tony, if you don't mind. I'm glad for that because Oklahoma State has never played defense. And they fit right into TCU and Baylor.
Yes, they do.
At least Oklahoma plays a little defense.
Yes,
and
they are.
They're a balanced team. Oklahoma State doesn't even pretend to play defense. And second of all, the shenanigans with LSU, how in the world do you come back and then say, hey, Les, we were just kidding.
Exactly.
We want you back because we don't want to pay you $17 million. I mean, the toothpaste is already out of the tube now. They're just going to have to suck it up. And I truly believe that they're going to be left with watching Jimbo Fisher at Florida State, and they're going to try to somehow, you know, get Les Miles. But that's ridiculous. That can't happen.
That Oliva guy is a complete jackass by all accounts.
Yep.
And Oklahoma leads 21-10 right now. They have big played Oklahoma State right now. Two huge runs. P. Ryan with one, and then the last one from Mixon. And when you see the highlight later of Baker Mayfield out in front of that, that Baker Mayfield, you know, we kind of slighted him coming into the Tennessee game because, you know, the story, and he was on the campus and all that stuff. You talk about luck. If that story is true, and you have a guy of that caliber that walks onto your campus and says, I want to play for your program, that is like Kelly Washington-esque back in the day. But it's way more than that, because the kid they had there, the night kid, there's no way they have the season they have if Baker Mayfield doesn't show up there. They do not beat Tennessee without Baker Mayfield, who his testicular fortitude, he was dragging the ground late in the fourth quarter, the way he handled the scene in Neyland Stadium. He gets a lot of credit as we get ready to go back to our phones. By the way, Florida State on top of Florida 10-0 at halftime. Also at the half, Texas A&M on top of LSU, 7-6. LSU's kicker has missed two chip shot field goals as it is an ugly night for LSU thus far. As we get ready to get our next call in, hello and welcome.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Yeah, you're on. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, you know, I'm a little worried about all these callers calling in, talking about how it's a good season. I mean, who do we beat this year, you know?
Who do we beat? Well, Tennessee won 8 games. They beat Georgia. They won at Missouri. Those are two teams that have had enjoyed mastery over Tennessee the last several years, so there were some positive steps made.
I mean, Kiffin beat Georgia, you know. I mean, that didn't seem like too big of a deal.
Can you talk into the earpiece? You're, like, talking away. I'm hearing, like, every fifth word. Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that, Tony. But, yeah, I mean, Kiffin beat Georgia here. You know, I mean, we beat Georgia this year. That's great. But who else did we beat? I mean, I don't see it's that good of a year if we don't beat anybody.
I thought the Missouri game last week was really impressive on the road with everything that was swirling around their program to go up there and navigate through that the way Tennessee did. And then Vanderbilt today, very good defensively, and Tennessee just took them apart. Nobody all year long has put up the kind of numbers on Vanderbilt that Tennessee did today, to the tune of 500 offensive yards. Very, very impressive for Tennessee. 523 total offensive yards.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive, but again, it's Vanderbilt. I mean, you know, I'm a lifelong Vol fan.
Right.
I love the Vols, but I don't feel like I can be excited about 8 wins when the only wins against Georgia, you know?
Next year is going to be the moving year where people like you, I think, will get some satisfaction with all due respect to Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. I think next season will be the year And I think that a call we had earlier, it's going to begin with that Florida game next year in September.
All right. Well, thank you, Tony. Have a good
day. Thank you. It can also begin this year, by the way, if Tennessee will draw Michigan in a bowl game. Cinco, will you echo what I'm saying, which is I want to see a legit quality bowl opponent. No offense to Iowa, but I want to see somebody that will challenge our football team and be a nice quiver, or arrow to put in the quiver at the end of the year. Your thoughts?
Oh, I really don't care who the opponent is. I just want to be at the in Florida. So we can win. I don't know about all the challenge and stuff. If that's what you want, that's great. But I just want to be in Florida because, you know, for as long as I've been alive, a Florida Bowl is, unless it's like one of the ones that are 3 weeks before it, like when it was the Blockbuster Bowl or whatever, the traditional Florida Bowls are really a reward for the kids. And that's where I want to be. And to the previous caller, I get you. You know, I'm not the definer of what's a good season or what's not a good season. I would consider this season a positive step forward. Certainly it could have been a lot better. But you know what? We've had a lot of adversity as well. The games that we were there, Oklahoma game, you know, if Kurt Majid doesn't get hurt, maybe it's different. You know, a lot of other things. So I give this team a bunch of credit. I think with this turmoil that's going on with the coaches around the country, I think you look for Tennessee to have a very, very solid, if not spectacular, recruiting year again. And they're just they're stacking good players, and you can see the improvement. So, you know, I think that if you're just sitting there saying, well, we didn't beat a 10-1 Florida team, we didn't beat a 10-1 Oklahoma team, we didn't beat a 11-1 Alabama. You know, only three teams beat those guys. So I really don't know what to tell you.
The only real, glaring loss or semi-bad loss on the schedule is the Arkansas game. In the Arkansas game, Tennessee's coming off two just killer gut punch kind of take the wind out of your sails, football games that would have done anybody in. In fact, go back and look at some of the teams Alabama played this year and how teams just go through a period of mourning after playing them.
That's just a horrible matchup anyway. It doesn't matter when you played Arkansas. You could have played Arkansas today and that's been a horrible matchup.
But it mattered.
Sure.
Yeah. The win was out of sales. Let's get to the next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony and Sean. It's JM.
Hey, JM. Welcome in, buddy.
Hey, I've really enjoyed this season and these post-game shows. It's been extremely enjoyable. I guess this is the last night that I'll be sitting out on my deck listening to you guys, but it's been really fun. And it's Beano talks about how fleeting college football season is, and it seems like you get to about maybe mid-August and you see those, you get all those practice reports from the August scrimmages, and then you blink your eyes and it's Thanksgiving. So here we are. But it's been fun. This season, it didn't quite get to become what it was supposed to be. But we did do some important things this year. We took the lead in the Georgia series, which is important to me. It's now 22-21-2. That matters in my opinion. And, we got a little bit of a monkey off our back with Mizzou and, beat them on the road and, got to 8 wins. So, you know, those Oklahoma and Florida losses, we will take those to our grave. But, you know, hopefully this 5-game stretch has taken us to, you know, given us some momentum that we can carry into next year, because there's no doubt that we have the material, as far as talent is concerned, to get it done next year. But
It's going to be interesting.
It's been a weird year. It's been a weird year, the way it started off. But, I mean, at the same time, there's been a lot that they did that was important.
I agree with that. And this year was about handling adversity. This offseason is going to be about handling expectations. Because the expectations are going to be on this team. Now, some of it is silly from the national media, okay? Andre Ware tonight, constantly, not one time, at least three times, going back to an analogy between Cam Newton and Joshua Dobbs is
so
moronic. That is stupid, okay? That is like science fiction. But he's kept saying it. And that's how these guys are. And that's how in the offseason there was a birth to Josh Dobbs, a Heisman Trophy candidate. Here's my goal for Josh Dobbs next year. In the games that really matter, when it comes time to making the throws that really matter, hit the throws. That can be the difference between beating a Florida, beating an Alabama, winning at Texas A&M. That's my goal next year.
And you know what, Tony? He's been pretty good on
pretty
third
good.
Down. And I'm just giving that the eyeball test. I don't know the numbers, but when we've had to have it, he's been pretty good.
Yes.
On third and distance.
Well, like Cinco said tonight, he had a play tonight where it's third and nine around midfield, and they have him pinned. And he takes off and he improvises, and he scampers down the right sideline, and he gains 20 yards. And as a defense, you have just gotten off the field. You have him contained. You're looking at that up in the box going, we have done what we were supposed to do. And the kids on the field are going, we've executed. But he just makes plays. But he's never going to be, okay? No offense. And Cinco said it, and it's the truth. Why Andre Ware feels the need to go over the top with that, and he's not alone, but that's part of what you're going to have to deal with when you're Tennessee this year.
They need to run him more than they do. Against Florida, Dobbs was our feature tailback. And they need to utilize that. He's never going to be a great passer.
You'll get him killed. You can't run him more than they do. It's enough right now.
I'm not saying run him like he's Tommy Frazier from Nebraska back in the day, but they need to utilize that a little bit more. But you know, I don't know. To me, they've been a little bit conservative with his legs this year.
They have. Cinco, jump in here. Do you think they've been conservative with his legs?
I think a couple things, Jim, that defenses, because this is the predominant offense, and most teams run this offense, so most teams, it's not a new thing with Tim Tebow anymore. And so you're getting that defenses are getting much better at the read option or zone read or whatever you want to say. So I don't know that your returns on Josh Dobbs or any other quarterback are going to be worth the risk of those repeated hits on him. I think that he's so much better with that little draw or, you know, just making things happen ad lib. And in fairness, take a look at this. I know people raise their eyebrows and say, well, you know, everyone has injuries, but, you know, this is a totally different deal if you have a little Kroom, who was emerging last year. Marquez North, though he has not been productive, he certainly is a talent. And Preston Williams, we saw what he did in a couple of games. They've really had to rely on Josh Smith, Eli Wolf, Vaughn Pearson a little bit, but he was out for, you know, a while. And so I think DeBoer had a nice year. I really do. Some people may not like that, but you know, boring is good a lot of times. And running the ball in this conference is very good.
DeBoer was not the problem this year. There were times I thought he was too conservative. But the problem this year was getting off the field on fourth down in key situations. We could have had a bigger lead maybe if DeBoer would have opened it more against, say, Oklahoma.
Well, you said it right there, and I'm going to say this. It's easier to say this now that we've won five games in a row.
In my opinion, we do not have a championship contending defensive coordinator or secondary coach.
How many times we were rushing three guys against Vanderbilt tonight on third
still
and
doing
12.
It.
What are,
still
what are you
doing?
Doing? It's
he was
Vandy.
Still he was still doing it. Yeah.
If I had my way, Jancic, Martinez, Azani, and Mahoney would pick up their last check come January 1st.
You guys remember how bad Martinez was at Georgia?
He's still the same way. Our DBs, our defensive backfield is below average for this conference.
Yeah, and we've got talent at every level of the defense. The line, the linebackers, and the secondary. We have playmakers.
JM, excellent phone call by you, brother. Thank you.
Hey, I was going to say this real quick. I'm watching Florida and Florida State.
Yes.
Every time I watch those two play, I think of the 97 game where Florida beat Florida State, and it put us into the Orange Bowl in 97. And I am just so ready for us to get back to where games like Stanford and Notre Dame matter for the Big Orange. That all these games matter for Tennessee.
Yep.
We've done some good things this season, but, man, would it not be awesome to be in the picture for the four-team playoff, and all these games matter for us tonight.
Thank you. Great call.
So, take care, guys.
And the truth is, then Sunday night on Selection Sunday night, next Sunday night, 56 weeks or 53 weeks from now, we could be sitting there on the edge of our seats. Could happen. Let me remind you, portions of tonight's program presented by our friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. You know, about 14 months or so ago, I had a terrible shoulder injury. And it really went back to about a year before that. And I went to several different people, and nobody helped me. It just lingered on. And if you've been in that state, you know, couldn't sleep, couldn't concentrate, couldn't drive my car, felt like somebody was driving a spike in my shoulder, couldn't play my music, couldn't do the things that let me be me. And then I met John Cruz in class one day, and I said to him, what are you doing? He said, well, I've got a place, Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. And I went to them for several treatments, and they did several different things to me and taught me about my issue, what was going on. And I got to tell you this right now. I've got zero problem recommending Tennessee Sports Medicine Group to you and your family. My lovely wife has gone there as well. And they've helped her tremendously. She was commenting to me, in fact, just this morning about what a life-changing deal it was finding Tennessee Sports Medicine Group for her. And in her case, same thing. She went to three or four different places, felt like a number. You get shuffled in and out. These folks here, it is a practice of faith. They're good people. They'll take the time for you. Really, really, really neat place. Old school. In every way, shape, and form, in a good way. 2260 Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville, online at 10sportsmed.com. 2260 Sutherland Avenue, Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. Back to our phones we go. I remind you, Sean Sinclair is a dentist in beautiful Maryville. Cinco, tell them where they can find you, brother.
Well, that's right, Tony. We are in Maryville. We're proud of what we do. We've been helping people out here for about 12 years or so. We built a nice practice right down from the Blount Memorial Hospital. And if you are looking for a second opinion, maybe you've had an insurance change or just want to switch around, or maybe you're new to the area, please give us a ring, 681-3004. You can check us out online at Sean. That's S-E-A-N, SinclairDDS.com. And we'd love to give you a hand with your dental needs.
Score update before we go back to the phones. Ole Miss on top of Mississippi State, 28-13 now. State's closed the gap. Temple leads Connecticut, 20-0, 8:50 to go in that game. Temple, Houston next week. First championship game in that league down in Houston. Florida State, 10-0 on top of Florida at the half. Notre Dame comes back early in the third quarter with the lead, 23-21, 10 and change to play third quarter in that one. Oklahoma has stretched the lead out on Oklahoma State. It was 10-7, and now it is 28-10, as Oklahoma has rattled off 19 unanswered points in that game. And there you go. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony? It's Rusty. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Rusty, welcome in.
Just wanted to update you. LSU just missed another field goal.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope. Wide right. I mean, as you said, another caller, it was skimming the outside of the post. If I could start by saying that anytime you go 5-3 and 8-4 in the SEC, that's a pretty darn good year for anybody. I mean, I know we all want to win 10, 11, 12 ball games, but 5-3 in the SEC is like 11-1 in any other conference. That's like going 12-0 in the Big Ten West for damn sure. And I know, you know, maybe Georgia isn't the best team they've ever been. They're still 9-3. I know Missouri is down a little bit, but they can play a little bit of defense, and getting that three-game losing streak off our back is huge. Just a mental hurdle. That was uncomfortable having to hear the pathetic Missouri fans, you know, ride that wave. And I don't know if anybody realized it, but we demolished a Bowling Green team that would win the Big Ten West.
That'd be interesting to say. So I like stuff like that. I think hypotheticals like that, it would be fun to see how many teams, like this Temple team I'm looking at right now.
Oh,
could
Memphis.
You stick them in the Big Ten West? Could you stick Memphis in the Big Ten West? Could you stick Houston
Boise
in the
State.
Big Ten West? Boise State. Tennessee,
oh,
for that matter, based on what we did in that bowl game last year.
Let me tell you all you need to know about Iowa. They needed a 57-yard field goal to beat Nathan Peterman. Checkmate.
Wow. When I saw Tommy Armstrong III yesterday for Nebraska playing against them, and that was a competitive football game late into the fourth quarter, I'm sitting there looking at that, and I'm thinking of that Indian in the Do Not Litter commercial as what of what has become of Nebraska football. Because that Indian had tears in his eyes. Again, just like a piece of litter, a can had fallen right at his feet again.
And Mike Riley's a good coach, but they hired Mike Riley about 9 years too late.
Exactly. I mean, who are you going to go get next? Sherman from Texas A&M? I mean, Mike Riley? Where did they get Mike Riley from?
I think Bob Toledo's still alive, isn't he?
Cinco, it's unbelievable how far Nebraska has fallen, man.
Well, it's interesting because you may know I grew up a Nebraska fan. Lived in Kansas City and then Omaha and was a huge, huge Nebraska fan up until I stepped foot on the UT campus. And when I was watching last night, it is a skeleton of what it used to be. And when I was watching Mike Riley, he looked freezing cold. He looked like he didn't want to be there. And he looked like, if you could read his mind, he was probably thinking, I wish I was back in Corvallis.
Damn, I miss Corvallis.
Yep.
Yep, I miss losing to the Ducks every year.
Yep,
that's what he was thinking. And occasionally upsetting USC on Thursday nights.
Yep,
that was the good old days for him. Really happy with the season. It has to eat us all alive. The 5 fourth downs versus Florida, the ball that should have been ruled a uncatchable pass that was ruled interference in the end zone on Malik Vorman versus Oklahoma. But those things are going to drive a lot of us crazy for a long time. But this team is clearly trending in the right direction. We're basically returning every key component to the team that we need. Drew Richmond's our starting left tackle January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, as soon as that ball game's over. And we'll miss Kyler Kerbison for all his effort. But I think we all can assume that Drew's probably a more gifted and a guy who's going to give us a better skill set at the left tackle position. So I think everybody's got to be pretty pleased overall with the body of work that we saw this year. Like you guys, I'd really like to end up in Florida. I know the bowl games aren't the same way anymore, to where the bowl just selects who they want. and they have a pecking order. I know now the SEC kind of places based on the team giving their opinion of where they want to go and the bowl selection giving their opinion of who they want. And then the SEC says, well, this is where we're going to send where. So who knows? It, you know, I hear a lot about Charlotte, and I hope that doesn't happen. I hear a lot about it, but I'm crossing my fingers. I think Tampa is the obvious place where we end up. Who knows?
Hey, Rusty, no offense to our listeners over in the Carolinas, and I hope.